Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in the first epistle of Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. For this is favorable, if a person endures sorrows while suffering unjustly, because he is conscious of God. For what credit is it to you if you receive a beating for sinning and patiently endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is favorable with God. Indeed, you were called to do this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps. He did not commit a sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself carried our sins in his body on the tree, so that we would be dead to sins and alive to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus is the good shepherd, and we celebrate that title on this Sunday. He perfectly takes care of his flock, and we are his flock. So what is to be our response to our good shepherd's care for him? That's what Peter is talking about in our text. He says to us, the good shepherd's way is for you. First of all, for your salvation, for your way to get to heaven. Now, mankind has all kinds of ideas on how to get there. Probably the most common idea is if you really live a good life, if you do your absolute best, God will reward you with heaven. Well, it is possible to earn your way to heaven if you're perfect, but we're not. So when someone says, I'm going to earn my favor with God, I'm going to earn your way to heaven, I have to tell you, you will fail because you sin. And just one sin will separate you from God, so you can't save yourself. Another idea is, and I see this on a lot of cars, not so much now as I did when I was younger, God is love. And he is, isn't he? But some people then go one step beyond that. They say, because God is love, he will make sure that everybody gets to heaven. So don't worry about it. No matter what you say, think, or do, no matter what you believe, because God loves everybody, you will be in heaven. That's not true. Faith gets you to heaven. Another idea is there is no hell, and therefore everybody will eventually get to heaven. Period. There's no other place to go. The final idea is when you die, you're dead. You're in the ground. That's the end. There is nothing after death. These are all human ideas about your future. And those ideas are all wrong. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, I mentioned earlier about good works. God demands perfection. We can't do it. But God still demands that of us, and so Jesus came to do that for us. He became a human being. We call him the God-man for a very good reason. He was a man so he could be under his Father's laws as we are. He was the God-man so he could obey those laws perfectly since we can't. And he did. And so he says to us now, when you appear before the judgment seat of my Father, he won't see your sins. He will see my perfection, the robe which I have given you to wear. And when my Father sees that, he will say, well done. Come and live with me in the house that I have prepared for you. Our text also speaks of a second aspect of Jesus' life, and that is his death. He himself carried our sins in his body on the tree so that we would be dead to sins and alive to righteousness. Just think of the weight that was on Jesus' shoulders when he was nailed to that cross. Every sin of anybody who has ever existed or who was existing or who would exist were on his shoulders. Every one of them. And when he was laid in the tomb, those sins stayed there, gone, never to be seen again by our Father in heaven. Jesus paid the price to take care of the sins of all people of all time. Because therefore, God doesn't see your sins anymore. The way to heaven is open. Then comes his resurrection. Tomb was full on Good Friday evening. Easter Sunday morning, it was empty. Jesus had risen. He had overcome death and the devil for us. And he says, now because I have risen, you too will one day rise to live with me in glory. That's a fact. He says, all you have to do is believe. Believe that I am the way to heaven. I am the only way to heaven. Just believe in me and all the things that I've done for you will benefit you with eternal life in heaven. The Good Shepherd's way is for you, for your salvation. Well, what about now? What is the Lord doing for you now? We daily sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. Daily, I ask my Lord, please guide me to do what is right this day. I don't do it just once in a while. I do it every day because I know that I need help. The Lord says, I'm the good shepherd. I will take care of you. I will give you the strength to stand firm. I will give you the strength to resist the devil and not fall into his temptations. Knowing that, I go about my daily work of serving the Lord in many, many different ways, not just here at church, but also at home or when I'm shopping or when I'm on the golf course. The Lord is with me, and he's with every single one of you. As you face the devil and his wily ways, the Lord says, I'll take care of you. I will make sure that you don't fall eternally. Oh yeah, you'll slip once in a while, but then my forgiveness is there. But I will never, ever abandon you. And he says, for you were like sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That means Jesus will guide you. And I do need guidance, and so do you. Because of our sinful nature, we're prone to disobey him. And so we say to the Lord, guide me to do what is right and give me the ability to do it. And the good shepherd says, I will. And you look back on your lives and you would say, yes, he has. And he says, I will continue to do it. The good shepherd's way is for you for your salvation. It's also for you for your imitation. Sad to say, too many people today say that the only good that Jesus has ever done is to be an example for Christian living. He is. But that's not all that he was. He was also, as I said in the beginning part, he is also our Savior. But we also learn how to live by looking at what he has done or what he did while he was on this earth. Indeed, you were called to do this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps. Peter, I think, gets caught up, and rightfully so, in the ills of being a Christian. It's not always easy. I received a comment this morning from one of our members here. He said, "Thank you for standing up against the evils of this world, because too many people no longer do. The gay rights, the transgenders, and so forth, abortion upon demand, they don't talk about it because it's not popular. We do. We stand up for the Lord. We stand up for his teachings. We tell the world, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing it." The result? We're laughed at, ridiculed, called old-fashioned. I'm proud to be old-fashioned. To continue to stand up for what my parents stood for. Stood up for God's word. And you do what he says. Well, the Lord did that too, didn't he? And what happened to him? When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to who judges justly. When the Lord began his public ministry, the religious leaders of his day were really upset. You see, that when they looked at the promised Messiah, they thought it would be an earthly king who would free them from the Rome and from the tyranny of Rome. Well, Jesus didn't do that. And so they were upset. When he said, "I'm the Messiah," they were upset. When he said, "Your wonderful works are not going to get you to heaven," they were upset. Every day, they tried to lead him to disobey his father, as did the devil every day. And they insulted him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. What was Jesus' example? How did he react to it? He let them do it. If they insulted him, he didn't insult them back. If they mistreated him, he didn't strike back. If they said something bad about him, he didn't say something bad about them. He said, "No, my Father in heaven will take care of it." I know of some people who have said to me, and they think they're right, "This person treated me badly, and I'm going to get even." I always ask, "Well, how?" "Well, I don't know, but I'm going to do it. That's now my goal for the rest of the day. Get even with these people." Jesus never did that. He said, "If they treat me wrong, my Father will take care of it." And we say the same thing. If we're mistreated, we don't strike back. We say, "The Father will take care of it." When? Maybe the same day. And I've seen that happen. Otherwise, for sure, on Judgment Day, when all things will be revealed, and those who have been unfaithful to God will pay the price for their sins. So what about us? "For this is favorable if a person endures sorrows while suffering unjustly because he is conscious of God." Unjust treatment because of our faith. How many of you have had that happen? Ridiculed, laughed at, made fun of, because you stood up for the Lord. You said, "This is what God's word says. This is what I follow. I don't care what the world has to say." And the world says you should, because we are so smart. And we want to have fun, and we don't want to be restricted by what God and his word says. And so when we say we can't do that, it's difficult. we be treated unjustly because of our faith. What did Jesus do? For what credit is it to you if you receive a beating for sitting and patiently endure it, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is favorable with God. If you stand up for the Lord, you may not be popular here, but you are popular in heaven. God is pleased when we stand up for his word, especially in the face of the devil and his wily cohorts who try to lead us away from God. When we say to the devil, no, God says, yay. The angels of heaven rejoice. It's party time. You see, when we do these things, maybe we don't see any results from other people, but God is there watching, and he is pleased. So what should you do when you are mistreated because of your faith? Just let it happen. Don't complain. Let God take care of it. And in the meantime, continue to stand firm for the Lord and for his word in everything you say, think, and do. And the good shepherd who is watching over you, who is keeping you safe from the devil and his host, will continue to guide you to do what is right in his sight. Jesus told us we will have a cross to bear because of our faith in him. He bore it all for us. We are to use his actions as a guide in our lives. So stand up for the Lord no matter the consequences. That's what he did. Follow his way. Then your heavenly Father will be pleased with your actions. Amen.